702.
WhatsApp Profilwe on 072-702-1702.
And at 12 minutes past 8, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to welcome a comedian and actress, Nina Hasty, to the profile slot of Weekend Breakfast. My goodness, inspiring, smart, hilarious. Those are just some of the terms that I could use to describe my guest. Nina, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. It's such a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Good morning, Refilwe. How are you?
I'm well, Nina. I'm really glad we're finally getting to speak. I've been trying to get you on for a minute now. But I love the fact that you've got so much happening in your life. That just makes me incredibly happy.
Thank you so much. I was at the beginning of lockdown, I started running these anxiety sessions because I was so worried that I wasn't going to have anything to do.
Boy, were you wrong.
I'm addicted to work, and there's always something to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, to that point, Nina, of running those anxiety, I mean, I was going to ask you this question a little further on down into our conversation, but you're running these anxiety workshops and you've brought your own psychologist, right, on board to have these conversations with members of the public on your IG Live. And I need to tell you that I discovered your IG and just your videos in the early stages of lockdown when I don't know why this 21 days seemed so final and official, that we just told ourselves it's just 21 days and somehow we are all going to nip this thing in the bud. And after these 21 days, we're going to come through it, we'll be over it, and life will carry on. Not so. So there was a level of low-key anxiety and just freaking out that I didn't realize until I saw one of your videos and I burst into laughter and I was hooked after that. And I realized, my goodness, I really needed this. I really, really needed this. So thank you for the videos, first of all. And I guess, for the videos, for the content, whether you'd partnered up with, some people to create it. But it really has been, I think, a useful tool for so many people that I know, and myself included, to just get us through this time and to make us laugh, or just to take us out of our situation for a few minutes.
Absolutely. So what was quite nice was there was such a sense of consistency in putting out their content for those 21 days. Sure. You'll see some other people who carried on with it and have leveraged quite beautifully off the consistency of putting out really good, funny stuff, like Sculptor Said, Donovan Goliath,
have
done some really phenomenal things. I was also putting out content after the 21 days, except not in that format. I've been shooting a drama series, which is what's been keeping me busy, and that I couldn't tell anyone. So the content was like waning a little bit on my Instagram, but I was like, guys, I wish you knew that I've been waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, and I've been shooting for 12 hours straight in lingerie, in high heels, in the dead of winter, in the middle of a pandemic. It was one of the most exhilarating, stressful, frightening, overwhelming, terrifying situations of my life. And then on top of that, you must remember lines. So it was crazy.
So, okay, well, you know what? You've gotten right to the meat of the matter. Nina Hasty, we have known you in various incarnations as the comedian that you are, as a TV presenter on the late night show, then Winter's Late Night Trending Essay. We've known you as this sharp, witty social commentator and a person who's always spoken her truth. I mean, you've been in the public eye for a long time and in radio as well. First of all, you've done an incredible amount in your career and in your work, but you are now in a nice, like a really beautiful phase. You're set to star, or you are starring in an Mnet local drama called Inconceivable. And I want to congratulate you on that new project. Can you tell us more about it? I mean, you've spoken about waking up at 4 a.m. and being on set and remembering lines, but tell us more about Inconceivable and what it means to you to be this woman, you know, holding up the production, starring in the production.
You know, Rufi Ray, I'm sorry that I keep preempting this conversation. It's, I think, you know, what happens is, and you spoke about it, when you've been in this game for so many years, you start, I had an interview recently, mm-hmm. and I was like waffling and to get to the point of what I was saying, and I didn't realize how short the interview was, so yes. I was like, push the information that you want to tell people immediately, straight out the gate. So thank you for being so gracious and about, you know, considering what I need to say and for doing your research. You know, so many people, they interview you and they're like, okay, so when did you start acting? When I was born, what do you want from me? You know, I don't know the day that it was on the 3rd of October, 1987. I don't know. So the thing is, you know, with my career, it's taken many different twists and turns. I started in radio when I was 13, and I moved and changed incarnations over the years. And, you know, comedy was obviously is my big love.
Mm.
But I think every performing performer in South Africa essentially wanted to be an actor. I mean, maybe I'm generalizing, but I think we all wanted to act, but there weren't really big options for us.
Yeah.
And what's so nice about this MNET production is that it's not a soapy, Rufilwe. You know, we've been
sure.
duped into thinking that the content that's on television right now, these telenovas and soapies, are drama series. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and drama series requires different style of acting. You know, when you're watching The Bold and the Beautiful and watching Big Little Lies, those are two different formats of show.
Girl,
and
yeah.
You know, people in South Africa, because not a lot of budget, because it's expensive to make a drama series. But what's beautiful is pushing local content, creating local content that's good, mm-hmm. that's written well, that's shot well, that's performed, you know, with power. And all the people that are acting in the show are stalwarts of industry. It's that have been in the game for acting.
Sure.
Not necessarily been in the game. I've been in the game for 100 years, but I wasn't necessarily acting. I felt like a complete novice.
Yeah,
A complete novice. I was like, which side of the camera? Where's the camera? Where's
my mark? Where's the light?
Yeah, the mark? What is a mark? Who's Mark? I didn't know there was a mark on the show. You're single. Where's that?
Sure.
You know,
it's not easy. I think people also, unless you've been on a movie or a TV set, you get such an appreciation for just also the technicality, right, of this thing called acting. We know it's not easy, but actually, damn, it's not glamorous at all. That's fundamentally the thing that hits you as well, I think.
It is not glamorous at all. At all.
Yeah. So tell us about, give us a storyline and the plot around Inconceivable. Your character is called Natalie, and she plays a woman who's struggling to fall pregnant. And essentially, I guess the title in that, once I've given you that context, then, you know, gives you a sense of what it is about. It's about motherhood. It's about what? Relationship, friendships, growing up?
Yeah, you've basically hit the nail on the head. It's a group of girls. There's four girls. They went to school together, or they grew up together. They carried on with their lives. Natalie, my character, moved to Cape Town, and she had a restaurant with her husband, David, who's mm-hmm. played by Craig Jackson. They come back up to Joburg, and this rekindles a friendship between all of these girls and their husbands. And they like... you know, shucks, now that I'm saying this, this is what I should have given as the answer in my previous interview. But anyway, I was like, it's about women who need to conceive babies. But it is about women who need to conceive babies. You know, that's also what's happening. It's Inconceivable. I know that that doesn't sound like the most interesting subject if I put it that way.
Sure.
But let me tell you, the lengths that people go to conceive and the drama that plays out of women in their 30s in these relationships is amazing. Natalie is also, you know, my character. She's a She's having commitment issues in her marriage.
To put it lightly.
She's having a bit of a love affair with someone else outside of her marriage, and we'll see that. And, you know, or whether it's outside of her marriage or inside of her marriage, or let's see what happens with Natalie. Let's see. But I tell you, it's dramatic. And it hits you from every angle. You're like, no. What?
I love it. So we've watched you, right, as the comedian that I spoke about, as now this actress. I'm looking forward to seeing you in this incarnation in a sort of extended series run. You're a voiceover artist. You've done the talk show as well. You're an MC. I'm curious to find out from you, Nina, what muscles you're working on or exercising in any of these modes, right? Because you're clearly a creative person, and the idea of, or the need to communicate somehow, to communicate something, has always been present in how you show up in the world. So what is it that you're working through as you do either one or any one of these roles that I've just laid out?
You know, that's funny that you say this. I have an overarching?
I always say arching.
Yeah, I don't know. An overarching theme in my life is to make sure that what I represent sparks a conversation to be a more interested, a more curious, a more involved South African, right? Mm. And somehow, whatever I do must speak to a conversation about human dignity and injustice. I know that that sounds like a beauty queen answer, but it really is the truth. Everything that I do is based and rooted in how much I love people and how curious I am about people and what I want to know about people and how they behave and why they behave and what we've got in common.
Mm.
And we don't know enough about each other as South Africans, you know? And because there was an entire thing, I don't know if you remember it, there's this big thing where we were separated and we were given different media, given different education, given different social settings, given different living spaces.
Some of us were put into homelands, yes.
Exactly. In order to separate and divide us. And as a result, integrating in society, there's been no re-socialization. There wasn't like, okay, guys, now we're all getting back together. Go find a partner on the other side of the class. Hold your hands, ask each other how you are and what you have in common. There's no such thing.
Sure.
We haven't been re-socialized. And I feel that as a public figure that's something that I need to take into every single project that I do. Every single project.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that shows. But that's definitely my vibe.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely a running theme and a through line. And then to that point, I was watching an interview that you did with Susan Bofa Walsh, where you talked about your comedy and work as essentially a point of view gun, where if people don't know what it is to walk in the shoes of another person, you're trying to aim your point of view gun on them. And give them that, if not for a few seconds or through a few jokes,
the point of view gun.
Yeah, tell us about the point of view gun and what that text and that book means to you. Do you still believe in the point of view gun too?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, guys. a classic fiction. Yeah, absolutely. I think the way to end all wars is just to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and I think. Gosh, you really do your research. This is phenomenal. You need to be.
This is what we do, Nina.
Promoted.
It's called work.
You need to be promoted. I love it. You're so good at your job. You're hired. You want to come work for me?
Are you ready?
Nina Hasty's bedroom. Nina Hasty's bedroom studio. Oh gosh.
Point of view gun.
Possibly have been misconstrued as something else.
Well, sounded like sexual harassment, but I love the way it landed.
The reason I'm saying that is because I record from my bedroom. That's what I meant.
What's funny is that I also didn't flinch, because I'm like, well, of course we're all locked down. We're either working in the lounge or the bedroom. I mean, that's what we're all doing, right?
Okay, good. I just wanted to clarify before I get to sexual harassment charge.
you're making my week once again. Carry on, Nina.
Sorry, what was the question? Well, we're good.
The point of you gun, yeah. So the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where you got that phrase of the point of view gun, the way to end all wars is to aim it on someone and let them view the world through someone else's reality or point of view.
Totally. So that's the whole thing. You know, this is what I see, and this is my perception of this thing from that side. And, you know, the only problem is when you, you know, sometimes you offend people. I had a situation yesterday where I was trying to include myself in a societal issue, and you know, I offended somebody by using. Yeah, you know what? We've got to be so respectful and of people's triggers, and it's so hard because we're not trained, you know. And I'm someone who takes time and, you know, research and things like that to try and not disrespect people in spaces. And even doing all of that, you sometimes still step on toes because there's something that you've learned, an ill behavior that you've learned. Mm. And it takes an enormous amount of courage to go, okay, you know what? I could be wrong. Mm. I could be offending somebody. I could be hurting somebody. And you know what? What I'd really like to leave with people is it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to not know enough.
Sure.
It's okay not to be the expert. Guys, the sooner we get used to not being right, the further we're going to get.
Mm, mm. And, you know, what I appreciate about the way you show up for interviews like this and conversations is that you also then talk about very frankly and candidly about the fact that yes, some of your work to that point on your stand-up might have been, you know, off target. It might have been, I think you've used the word, problematic in some aspects. But the intention was, you know, the intention, it came from a very specific place. But also just articulating or saying those words and then also talking about how you've addressed that is such an interesting thing, because not many people will bring those things up willingly of their own volition and keep on having those conversations in public. You know, mistakes are something that are difficult to deal with on your own, never mind on a public platform. And then speaking to them and speaking about them, I think, takes a lot of courage. Do you view it that way?
I feel so. Thank you for saying that. You know, Nina, you're problematic. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, so how can I fix it? What did I do wrong? I thought I was doing the right thing. And, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So, you know, sometimes you really genuinely think you're going to help. Do you remember that lady that was trying to teach everybody to wash their hands and sing happy birthday?
Yes.
In Ilovo.
Yeah. Yeah, at the start of the lockdown.
She genuinely thought she was trying to help. But what she didn't realize is that she was posturing herself as as somebody that is better and knows better and was patronizing adults, people that are people's grandparents, you know, people that hold respect in their own communities and families. And to treat people on that level as if they're actual children is really disrespectful. And it's like, oh, but to see that, to be have that pointed out when you're still wrestling with your ego and going, but I'm trying to do good. Mm. Yes, you're trying to do good, but damn, you know. Mm. Yesterday I used a slur accidentally with friends of mine. I was trying to include myself in the conversation because I live in all my friends are Jewish, and I was like including myself in things, and they're like, you're not Jewish, Nina, and you can't refer to Jews as a term and or, you know, as a segment of culture. Like, it's, you're not, like, know your place and know that there are triggers for us that come from a place that is painful, you know, of our people. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even realize that that's what I was doing. I was trying to include myself in a conversation about something. And
yeah, so interesting.
That's the thing, you know. You, everybody's carrying around pain and you can't be perpetuating the pain. Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to see.
Nina, we're going to head on over to it's a short break where we check out and get a sports update. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about your creative process, because I've also gleaned from the work, the rate, the output, as well as how you talk, that you are someone who is incredibly driven. And I'm keen to find out where that drive is and how it was, where that drive comes from and how it was instilled. So please stay with us and we carry on our conversation with you.
702
on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
It's 8:36, and if you've just tuned in, you're right on time for the second part of my chat, my interview with my profile guest today. She is a comedian, an actress, a radio host, a presenter, a writer, a comedian, Nina Hasty. Everybody, Nina, thank you so much for your patience and for still hanging out with us.
Well, thanks. You know, when you list my CV like that, I feel like it's not specific enough. I feel like, you know, if you say like, BMW, they have 1, 2, 3 series.
All right, let me say this. She's worked at YFM and KTV. You've seen her on Trending SA this year. Actually, let me start with this. You mentioned the fact that you feel as though people in this game, being the local industry, most of them seem to have wanted to be an actor, and they, you know, have to do every other peripheral thing just to stay in the game. I'll tell you what I've always wanted to be that I never got to be, which was a KTV presenter.
Oh, wow. I was never a KTV presenter. Poppy Molloy.
Yes, essential KTV presenter.
But I was only the voiceover artist for KTV, so I was the official voice of their adverts.
But you were marginally in that universe. Did they invite you to that little holiday club out in Sun City at some point? Tell me you did that, at least as a voiceover.
Children, I was so jealous as well. I would just come into the studio, do my little voiceovers, and my grandparents would take me in. They would drive me from Pretoria to Joburg. And my grandfather was sitting in the traffic. Darling, why must we go for the voiceover? I need to go past the boxes and buy some fish. And I'd go do my voiceovers.
I am bitter on your behalf. We'll sit in the misery club together. That's all I ever wanted to do. Everybody else can keep the acting. Now, Nina, talk to me about your work ethic and where you get the drive from, because it seems as though... it's one where you are either running away from something or your vision is big and the vision is huge and time is of the essence.
You've got to kind of do, the vision is big. I've got like a 20-year plan, which just needed to be restructured because there's a new normal. So, although, you know what's so funny? My plan actually was quite... on the money in terms of what I like, the thing that I wanted to do was very well placed in a new normal. But you know, the way that you get there is a bit different.
Sure.
Exactly. So that what you're speaking about is the way to get to the thing. Now in South Africa, in order to, because we don't have as cultivated an entertainment industry as much as, you know, Hollywood or even Nollywood or Bollywood, where there's such, you know, output of work, you know, there's just like, which can sustain an industry. We don't necessarily have an industry.
And that huge level, infrastructure that as level. Well, right? It's not that big machine.
Studio lot, publicity. Let me put it to you this way. This is the best way to put it. We haven't got the privilege of being specialists. We have to be general practitioners at this stage of the game, in this way of the industry. However, it's growing. And now, because it's growing and there's so many opportunities, you can be a specialist. However, we've had to learn how to be a surgeon and a endocrinologist and a dermatologist. And, you know, you go to one doctor in a village, right?
Sure. I hear you.
Yeah, that's it. That's the punchline.
All right, Nina. You know, you've also led to the point of your work ethic. I'm always curious about, now this is something that I don't see a lot of women comedians speaking about, which is the process of putting together a set. And the reason I refer to this is you kicked off the year, you kicked off 2020 on quite a high note when you were launching your comedic tour and show. And I'm wondering how many lifetimes you've lived since February 2020, when you were daring South Africans to Tuma Nina, and you know the name of your comedy show. Then, how long ago does it really feel? As opposed to how long ago it's actually been?
I'm speechless. I'm actually speechless. Tumanina was supposed to have been, actually, the 31st of July was supposed to be the day in the theater to shoot the TV special.
Sure.
My comedy special. Yeah, 2 days ago it would have happened. And, you know, it's so funny because it was the first time I was so very organized. I started planning that show about 10 months. Or 12 months in advance. You know, I was touring the show, making sure that it was good, writing, you know, material that fitted some of the old stuff in that I've been touring for the last couple of years, as well as a new spin on what I thought was relevant.
Yeah.
But there's so much has changed in society, and also so many comedians are at the moment just speaking about the same experience, you know. So,
sure.
I don't know. Stand-up comedy, is in a space where, yeah, I've had to like put that dream on hold for a bit. We cannot at the moment, you know, collect in groups late at night regularly for us to test material to make sure that it's polished. Comedy is like anything else. You need to be fit, you know. If you play tennis, you need to work those muscles, you know. You might know the rules of this is how you play tennis. You put your right arm out, you hit the ball, you spin up. But it's going to come at you. The ball's going to come at you at different angles and different levels, and you're playing with another person.
Absolutely.
Who's got a whole other strategy, you know, with it. So, and comedy's like that. You have some ideas about what you want to do, but the energy in the room, the space of the room, the amount of people, what they think, what they find funny, you know, it's...
Absolutely.
You need to be fit for that. And we can't even build fitness at this stage.
Yeah. What ordinarily would have been your process? I mean, I know, depending on where in the world you are, you'll go to comedy rooms and you'll try out some material here and fix it if it, you know, if it works or if it gets a laugh or if it gets some kind of reaction. What did you ordinarily do back, and I guess I'll say back then, meaning pre-COVID times, how do you write and how do you work? Specifically comedy, and then we'll get into your other writing as well.
So you got to be consuming information,
sure,
all the time, and like you know, somebody tweeted something about that there's a vaccine being developed in Russia at the moment, and I was like, but darling, that is how, it's like, are we going to get the vaccine, you know, as it's being developed in Russia? I'm like, darling, if we could get uranium, how you think we're not going to get the vaccine? And the thing is, how would I be able to make that joke if I didn't know about the uranium?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So you constantly need to be reading stuff. You constantly need to be keeping that information in your brain. And then also forming opinions about that stuff. Like, okay, cool. This is that. At the moment, I'm talking about my perception of like parents with parents of children, POCs. That's my parents of children. That I'm prejudiced against POCs, parents of children everywhere.
Yeah, it's just
like I'm
it.
Trying to go to a park to have like some peace of mind. There's parents of children, you know. but you've got to have opinions about stuff of your lived experience.
Sure.
That requires sitting around and thinking. And people don't realize that sitting around and thinking is an actual thing. You need to think about stuff. You need to form an opinion about stuff. You need to then bounce that idea off your friends or people that you see how they react to that stuff. Now there's a lot. Then once you finish with that, then you go and you test it on an audience. Mm. How did the audience respond? Sometimes an audience responds to something in your joke that you didn't think they would.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, shucks, that's where the joke is. Okay, well, let's develop that part. That's what you think is funny.
Yeah.
You've also got to listen to the audience.
Yeah. Many people spend their lives avoiding embarrassment, right? And awkward moments. Talk to me about what it feels like to die on stage.
Well, they call it death for a reason. There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
See, there's nothing worse than being vulnerable, sharing your ideas with people, and then they're like, this is nothing.
Sure.
Basically nothing. To be nothing, you know how it feels like if you're into somebody and you're like, oh, I love you, and then they're nothing you. That's how it feels, but except you're being nothing in front of everybody live at the same time. It's horrible.
Sure. Really, really painful.
Yeah, they say that the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Is that right?
Maybe absolutely. Yeah, no, it is.
Somebody can tweet me.
Yeah, indifference. Absolutely. Really, really interesting stuff. So, Nina, what I want to then find out from you is the vision, the dream. Where does it take you in your head and in your mind, this big thing that you're working towards attaining? Because I want to say that I'm certain you can get there with your frankness, your can-do attitude, and it's seemingly just, yeah, your ability to bounce back because you do the work, the hard work of recovering and talking. Where does this vision of yours take you and place you ultimately? And it doesn't have to be a destination, geographic or a goal. It could just be, you know, adjectives, words where you're finally peaceful and at ease and in your own skin, whatever it is.
That's so interesting. So the work that I've done with Hanan Bushkin, Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who just got his PhD, who's my cognitive behavioral therapist, who doubles up as my life coach.
Sure.
So he's helped me create my vision, but it's segmented into different things. So they are different categories. So I've got family, spiritual, health, like all these different anchors in my life that each have their own vision. So I think they have their own goal. So the vision is this house that looks out onto the ocean. I'm healthy, I'm happy, I've got this family, it's beautiful. But the goals within that space, obviously, a BMI of XYZ, no eating gluten ever again because that stuff is the devil. Guys, can we all just stop eating gluten? Can we, as a people, just like, can we agree to it? They take it off all the shelves, like they're locked down. You know, like cigarettes have been taken away from people. Can we just take gluten away from people? I feel like we'd all be better off without gluten. That stuff is so bad for our bodies. It causes all the. You can hear that I'm a bit sinusy at the moment. Half of that is because of the moving house and there's a lot of dust.
And pizza was eaten.
Pizza was eaten, family. You know.
Oh, Nina, it's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you. I really, really enjoyed it. And thank you for the work that you do and the energy that you put out into the world. It really has made and makes a difference.
Thank you. That is a very kind compliment. And I appreciate that much more than you know. And I really needed to hear that this morning because I was feeling a little bit low today. So, Rufilwe, thanks for waking me up with this conversation. That's sort of given me a real boost into the day. I've I appreciate it greatly.
Oh, we love you, Nina Hasty. Listen, looking forward to seeing you starring in Inconceivable. That's an Mnet local production, and that's all going to be kicking off in September. So really looking forward to seeing you on the screen as well in that incarnation. That's Nina Hasty, everyone. And of course, you can catch her online, check out her Instagram, and yeah, see who this amazing young talent is. I don't know how you've missed her. But if you have, that's how you can get to know her a little bit more.